The drink sent down. No, listen. I need to warm up on this instrument because it's tuned and fretted differently from what I'm used to. Just listen to me for a while, because otherwise I'll just confuse you. I'm doing some variations till I get it.
With it. of me, and you have not tasted. You have not smelled me, and you have not tasted. But nothing possess you, nothing in any world. Let nothing possess you, nothing in any world. Be mine before me, as you are in me. Be mine before me, as you are in me. Dearly beloved, this way leads to union. Dearly beloved, this way leads to union. All separation dissolves like a shadow. All separation dissolves like a shadow. Let's go hand in hand into the court of truth. Let's go hand in hand into the court of truth. The truth plays its imprint on us forever. The truth plays its imprint on us forever.
Bye.
once were raw, without much taste, we're getting cooked. Alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allah.
Not finished with music, but we're going to take a little poetry break. You guys can just stay here if you're comfortable here. So, let's give out our quotes on love. So this poem is not here, but I can recite it to you. It begins like this. Love is reckless, not reason. Reason seeks a profit, but love comes on strong, consuming herself unabashed. Yet, in the midst of suffering, love is hard-surfaced and straightforward like a millstone. Without cause, God gave us being. Without cause, give it back again. Gambling yourself away is beyond any religion. Religion seeks rewards and favors. But those who gamble these away are God's favorites. For they neither put God to the test nor knock at the door of gain and loss. So, we talk about being. Being sounds like the most abstract, vague thing imaginable. It's actually the most real thing there is. Everything else is secondary. And you're all working on awakening and developing being in yourself. The capacity to be. Capacity to remember God. The capacity to sustain attention. The capacity just to be here with your beloved. Being, because it is just another word for that absolute, being equals love. In the very essence of being itself, we will discover all qualities, but the foremost, in the end, the most valuable, the one that touches us, touches our souls the most, is love. But it's an attribute of being. So, on page one, on the right column near the bottom, it says, He loves them. Do you see that? Mevlana says, love is uncalculated affection. Love is uncalculated affection. Many kinds of affection we calculate. Many forms of so-called love is a calculated love. Well, do I risk giving love to this person? Will they love me back? Will they burn me? Will they desert me? But love, the real love, the spiritual love, doesn't calculate. Like the poem we just recited, love is reckless. Love is irrational. Reason is always looking for the calculations, the benefits to me. What's the risk? What can I extend? What can I give? Love doesn't ask those questions because love is uncalculated affection. That's why it is said that in reality it is the attribute of God. If it were our attribute alone, there would be calculation. There'd be bargaining. There'd be hedging. So, it is in reality the attribute of God and unreal in relation to his servant. Now, interestingly, there are some sects within Islam that say the same thing and mean something completely different. Remember once when our beloved Maulana Asad Ali walked into a classroom in Beirut and the students were arguing. And he said, my children, what are you arguing about? And they said, we're arguing about whether love is permitted in Islam. This is an attitude, a concept that Love cannot belong to the human being. It only can belong to God. If it only belongs to God, then you don't have any part in it. So they were arguing. They said, Professor, what do you think? And he said, do you remember in the Holy Quran where it says to Muslims, it warns Muslims, if you fail to carry forth this faith, you will be replaced. By whom? By people with stricter Sharia. No, it didn't say that. What did he say? Oh yeah, he said, Allah said, you will be replaced by a people who will love God and whom God will love. So, says it very clearly. This is the bottom line. This is the final value. But nevertheless, that love is his love when it's real, when it's pure. It belongs to Allah. But it also belongs to that eyelessness, that eye without eyeless, that eyeless eye, that essential self, that aspect of your being that observes your nafs, that observes your weakness, your hypocrisies, your fears, your pride, observes it mercifully, compassionately, not with self-satisfaction, never rationalizing those things, but always observing and reporting back to Allah. There he goes again. He's doing his nafs thing. Oh Allah, we need you. And then you leave it to Allah. You report, you would notice, you observe. There it is. The fear, there it is. The resentment, the jealousy, the withholding. Ya Allah. Alhamdulillah, at least for letting me see, letting me observe myself. Alhamdulillah. I used to think this was myself. Now I see. This is a part of me. This is how it acts. This is a reaction going on, maybe coming out of my subconscious, which needs to be purified. Mysticism is purifying the heart and soul down to the deepest levels of the subconscious. Well, actually it is done through self-observation and through asking for help above all. You're saying, oh Allah, you know, I can't do this myself. I seem to be powerless towards some of these aspects. But I ask you for help. I pray because I don't want to be this way. So, love belongs to that source. So Mevlana says, then quoting in italics, it's from the Quran, God loves them is the entire sum, the total story. God loves them. And because God loves them, because God loves you, then it's possible for you to love him. But it's really his love in you. A reciprocal action. The grace of love comes into the soul. The soul responds with love. And then he says, and there is nothing but we have the storehouses thereof. Again, all the italics in our translations are always from the Quran. So the storehouses are with the source. The treasuries of all of these beautiful qualities. And we do not send it down, but in a certain measure. Everything is measured. Everything in the existence is measured by Al-Qadr, by the all-powerful measurer. Why does it need to be in measure? Why does it need these sacred cosmic proportions and balances and divine recipes. Without water, earth cannot become a brick. Neither will it become a brick when there is too much water. And the heaven, he raised it and set up the scales. He gives everything according to those scales, not without calculated balance, except for those who have been transmuted from this creaturely state of existence and have become like those of, and he bestows on them whom he pleases beyond any reckoning. Love breaks all the rules. It has no limits. If there are limits, it's we who limit it. And he bestows on whom he pleases beyond any reckoning. Although whoever has not tasted doesn't know. Someone asked, "What is love?" I answered, "You will know when you become we." When the isolated individual begins to experience the we-ness of existence, the we-ness of the lovers, the we-ness of those who consciously remember. Ultimately, the we-ness also has no limits. No one need be excluded, but it's more likely to begin in the presence of someone who is living that reality, in the presence of others, in the presences of dervishes, in the presence of the sincere lovers of God. That we-ness, you're almost drawn into it. It's magnetic. Mevlana is, of course, a great master of the knowledge of love. His poetry is the language of the soul. The things that can be said with poetry more gracefully, more powerfully than by other means. Poetry is to say one thing and mean many others, so that you can perceive it, receive it on the level that your heart is ready to receive it. So we're very grateful for the incredible treasure of poetry that has been given to us. There's even a story. It's told, you know, they tell stories in the tradition. I can't say you'll find this in some official book on Islam, but one day the Prophet, peace be upon him, was saying, "Oh, my brothers, oh, I miss my brothers and sisters." And his companions said, "Oh, yes, Ya Rasulullah, we know you miss your brothers and they are the prophets." He says, no, I don't mean the prophets. I mean those who will come later, who have never met me, but love me. Those are my brothers. Those are my sisters. I miss them." And then he said, according to this, according to the oral tradition we receive, then the Prophet said, "And one day I will return, and my name will be Muhammad Jalaluddin, and I will explain every ayat of this Quran in the most beautiful way." Anyway, these are the stories that dervishes tell. They originated somewhere. And It's also said that Mevlana came to invite people, to invite humanity to humanness. We know what his practice was. We know his practice was Islam, and a very fastidious Islam. But he invited all of humanity to come to him. To come, not to him, but to come to the completion of humanness. And to unify humanity through that completion. You know, non-Muslims are not allowed to visit Mecca and Medina at the current time. There was a time when they could, but now, no. Only Muslims, verified Muslims, can go to Mecca and Medina. But again, the stories told in our tradition is that Muhammad receives all of humanity in Konya. And over the entrance to Mevlana's tomb and the dergah, it says, "This is the Kaaba of lovers. Those who entered here became complete." So I tell these stories. You know, in all these years, we've been very low-key about even the beauty of our tradition. It's not something that we proclaim. But this weekend, I'm going to proclaim it anyway. You know, that's why I said this weekend. The point of this weekend is to just express our gratitude for the tradition. We've been very discreet, haven't we? You have to admit. We've been very discreet about it. But we've, in a way, held back our love out of a kind of politeness. Not because we haven't felt it from the beginning. So now we're giving expression to it, and it's not that we claim something as Mevlevis or anything like that. It's what it is what whoever wants it can have it. It's not, it doesn't belong to an order, to a tariqat. We're not saying that. But we are saying there is this love that is meant for humanity, and here at least is one place where it is alive. It's not other than the love of Hazrat Isa, our beloved Jesus. It's not different. It's not other than the love and the beauty of the character of Muhammad and other prophets. But it is a very explicit unfolding, a word Camille likes to use a lot, unfolding of that love that was inherent in the Quranic revelation and in the Gospels. But as humanity's capacity changes, certain things that were once implicit and had to be toned down a little bit can become more explicit. So this is the quality of this Mevlevi path and of this beautiful being that we call Mevlana, our master. So many beauties. Did you know that when a Mevlevi dervish goes to sleep, when you go to bed tonight, you could try this. They say that a dervish was taught to keep one knee bent when you go to sleep as a sign of your readiness for service. You're ready to spring up as a servant of God. So when you go to sleep, you kiss every article of clothing. You know, throw them, leave your socks on the floor like I sometimes do. But you take every article of clothing and you respect it. And you put it where it is supposed to be consciously. We have many things we have yet to live up to. as in the morning when you pick up an article of clothing. A Mevlevi will kiss his jacket or her blouse before putting it on. This is the constant awareness and respect, even for the material world. And as I was saying, I didn't quite get it right, but I said the utensils at a Mevlevi table are turned over and they're pointed toward this fork and spoon are turned over and they're pointing to the heart of to say, I do not eat with my mouth, I eat with your mouth. The food I consume is for you. So there were these reminders that help people to live in this reality, to live closer to reality. And when you're living close to that reality, the other many things are much harder to justify and rationalize. Bickering, backbiting, and all sorts of things can hopefully recede. Or if they arise, they arise against this background of such chivalry and such respect that they're more obvious immediately. The lack of beauty in them is more obvious. So it's also part of Mevlevi teaching and something we can all learn. We're all learning and we're all on the way to learning this, but to speak beauty as much as possible. When the Prophet, peace be upon him, was attacked by the people of Tai in Arabia, and his companions said, curse the people of Tai. He said, I was not sent to curse anybody. I was sent to perfect moral virtues, to perfect character. So that is our way that we inherited and that Mevlana inherited and that we, in our own way, attempt to live up to. On page 2, there is, on the right-hand column, become a rose. Another one of those compressed quatrains. In love, if you are comfortable for the space of a breath, what right do you have to stand with the lovers? You cannot approach the beloved with your mind sharp as a thorn. Become a rose, and the beloved will fall into your arms. A mind sharp as a thorn. A critical mind. It's good in some places. It has its usefulness. But it's very bad in the wrong place. It's not meant. In the realm of friendship, in the realm of spiritual life. And below it, stoking the fire of love. The vision of God looks into the heart to see whether there is some modesty there, no matter what your words sound like, because the heart is what matters. Speech is secondary. The essence is what's real. So what is secondary matters less. How long must I keep telling this story? I want burning, burning. Become intimate with that burning. Light up a bonfire of love in your soul. Burn up thought and speech. O Moses, those who know the right way are of one kind. But they whose souls and spirits burn are of another sort. So how do we explain this burning? How do we burn? What do you think? Help me here. What?
Longing.
Longing for nearness. But if it's near, if you really realize it's near. Norma, can you be the microphone, Bashi? And just be ready to run lickety-split anybody who wants to speak after. So, anybody else? Not burning. Burning. What does this mean to you? What will you do with this? Okay, well, let's do Frank and then Janice.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh. When I think of burning, I actually think of purifying in a way.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. That's it. And he says it here, burn up thought and feeling. Burn up that those aspects of your nafs that we've been talking about and observing. Only love, only a burning love can purify in that way. Thanks, that's perfect. And Janice.
I was going to say about the same thing, but maybe I'll just add that it's the burning and the dissolution of the nafs and the appearance of the real.
Yes. The dissolution of the
nafs.
Nafs and the appearance of the real. Yes. Beatrice.
A dissolving and a transforming.
Okay.
It feels like you are ready to give yourself away for whatever is necessary.
Mm. Beautiful. Love gambles away every gift God bestows.
I feel annihilation, not me existing, is him.
Mm.
Staged.
Yes, it sounds so absolute. Thana, annihilation. It sounds like something at the end of a long, long road. But actually, in every moment, you can choose even a small thana. You let something drop away. You let let go of a little complaint. You let go of a little resistance. And you say, oh, no, just go forward. Well, beautiful. That's our poetry break. Let's come back to music. Burning, burning. Do we have such a song?
Page 4.
Thank you.
here.
In the center.
Don't control your enthusiasm, Gunther. Bless you. Bless you. we also have this incredible repertoire of music, traditional music in Turkish. And Fatima, God bless her, for the last 3 years has been studying assiduously with a Turkish Mevlevi musician master, and she has learned at least several complete ayins. And if you know what an ayin is, you know that's really extraordinary, which she sings. Those are, it's like learning five Beethoven piano concertos, approximately, I would say. And we're not going to try that tonight. But we are going to sing, with your help, and a beautiful Hijaz Ilahi, an Ilahi in that maqam of Hijaz, that is beautiful Ilahi. Some of you know it already, Dalar Ile, Tashlar Ile. The words of which are also extraordinary and beautiful. Dalar Ile, Tashlar Ile. Shayaraya Mevlam Seni. O my master, let me call you with the mountains, with the stones. Thank you. Let me call you at dawn with the birds, O my Maula, O my beloved friend. Gökyüzünde İsa ile, high in the heavens with Jesus, and on the mountaintop with Moses, his staff in hand, let me call you, my Lord, my intimate friend. Yunus, who wrote this Ilahi, this poem, says, Yunus speaks with many tongues, with many languages. And he's loving Hak, he's loving the real, along with all the servants of the real. And all, with those who know our beautiful, our fakhri, our pride, meaning the references to Prophet Muhammad, all those who know our pride and joy, Muhammad, let me call you my Lord. So this is a beautiful tune that goes back to the Mevlevi Lodge at Yenikapı, which was a great musical center in our tradition. And Norma, you can take out your bendir and accompany this. Strike a note for us. Just give us a note you think would be good to begin on. Just for those of you who don't know Turkish transliteration, the G with the little hat on it is silent. You don't pronounce it. So it's Dalar Ile Tash, the S with the squiggle, Tash Lar Ile. Cha, the C with the squiggle, is a cha. E, and again the silent G, cha irayim, mevlam seni. Seher ler de kush lar ile. And then gurk, an umlauted O, gurk yu zun de, umlauted yus. Gurk yu zun de, I sa ile. Tur dainda musa ile. So with Isa and Musa. O Chayaraya Mevlam Seni. Yunus Okur Diler Ile Hake Seven Kular Ile. O Fahri Bilenler Ile Chayaraya Mevlam Seni. With that, I think we can sing it. So let's play it through musically with oud and drum and ears. So we can all hear the melody. It's a beautiful melody in Hijaz, Hijaz Makam, a makam which has a big gap between the second and the third in the scale. You hear it. It's an unusual, oriental sounding scale. Bismillah. Evava. We can take our seats. And we need a sheepskin. All right.